turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, if you happen to have those available. Luke chapter 15. And we are going to begin reading in verse 14. I've got something I want to share with you about what we're going to do today in just a second, but Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And pay attention to this. And he began to be in want. And he went, pay attention to this, and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And pay attention to this. And no man gave unto him. Now, I was telling Miss Helen as we came out of Sunday school, I would never have chosen to be in the ministry. That's, you know, when I was on the Uncle Paul show when I was a little boy and they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I told them a fireman. I dare say there's not a child that would say, I want to be a preacher. I would not have chosen this, but at the same time, I stand before you today and I wouldn't take anything for it. And I'm excited every time I'm able to get in the pulpit and bring God's word. Because I will tell you, 99% of the time, it's for me. It's for me. But I have been excited about this all week long because all through this week, even to this very morning in Sunday school, there's no doubt in my mind, this is the message God wants me to preach today, here at this place. Somebody may need it here today. Somebody that is tuning in may need this. It may be something that somebody pulls up and looks at a year from now. But there's a purpose for this. This scripture that we read this morning is a portion of the parable of the prodigal son. Mr. John Floyd did a wonderful job of this in our Sunday school class last Sunday morning. And as he was going through this beautiful parable, these three verses that I shared this morning stuck out to me. I've never looked at them the way that I looked at them this week. Never. I truly believe God laid this sermon on my heart right then and there. Maybe for me, maybe for you. But I think there's some things we can all learn from this passage of Scripture. And with God's leading this morning, I hope I can get you to hear my heart. You already know this story. You already know the story. This young man demands his future inheritance from his father, and he wants it right now. And once he's got it in his grubby little hands, he leaves his father, he leaves his brother, he leaves his family, he leaves his home. And the Bible says he goes into a far country. And I would imagine he's got every intention of never, never, ever seeing the green, green grass of home again. He's got what he wants, and he's gone for good. Oh, and he lives it up for a while. He's the life of the party. There's a party every day. There's a party every night. He's everybody's buddy. He's got plenty of jingle in his pocket, and the Bible says that he wasted this in riotous living. But you know what? Came a day where the money ran out. There came a day when the party stopped. All of his so-called friends that were hanging on with him were nowhere to be found when he was broke and alone and destitute. And by the way, every bit of what he was feeling was self-inflicted. Every bit of it. And on top of all of that, he couldn't go back to his father now. He's wasted his entire inheritance. He's been rude to the very one that he should have respected. And now he's alone. And I mean really alone. And he had nothing. And just when you think things couldn't get any worse, the Bible says that there arose a famine in the land. Now, that wasn't his fault. Everything else was self-inflicted. The famine wasn't his fault, but he was affected by it nonetheless. Nonetheless. Now, on top of everything else, he was hungry. He was hungry. And there was no food available. He found himself in pretty dire straits, wouldn't you agree? And he couldn't get out of this situation by himself. I wonder if he ever thought, who's going to help me now? And then the Bible says, he began to be in want. Just a few verses earlier, he thought he was in want. He thought he was in want. He came to his dear old dad and he said, "Father, give me of the portion of goods that falleth to me." In other words, "Dad, I want what's mine. I want what's coming to me. I want my money." I jokingly told Spencer one time, we were talking about end of time things, and I told him, I said, "Spencer, whatever your mom and I have," I said, "when we leave this world, it's yours." He said, "Dad, I don't want anything." I said, "Oh, I don't want to give you anything either." I told him one time, I said, "I hope there's just enough money for you to write the check to Jim McLaurin when I leave. That's it." I don't mean that. I want to leave something behind. This young man said, "Dad, I want my money." He hadn't done one thing to earn that money. He just was greedy. "I want, I want, I want." He didn't know what being in want was. He thought he did. But he was really seeing it now. No food, no money to buy food, nobody to help him. Hunger pains constantly in his stomach. Can't you see him? He was losing weight. He was feeling weak. And there was no end in sight. Now he really was in want. He really was in need. Have you ever been in want? Have you ever been in need? Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you're sitting there and you're watching TV and an advertisement comes on and you think, I want a brand new truck when I got a perfectly good one out there that'll get me from A to B. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean desperately in want, in need. I think we all think we get in a state of want or need from time to time. I go to the pantry and I open the pantry. And Ginger says, "What do you want to eat?" And I'd look at her and say, We ain't got a thing in this house to eat. What I should say is we don't have a thing in this house that I want to eat. We got enough food to last us to the end of the year. We have plenty. What was different for this young man was that he didn't have anything and he had no way to get anything. That's a bad, bad, bad situation to be in. It was literally a life or death situation for this young man. I guarantee you, he no longer wanted money or riches or independence or distance between he and his family. All the things that he demanded from his father, he didn't care about that right now. He was in want of the things he needed to sustain life. And it was a desperate situation. So, he decides on a solution. He decides on a solution. The Bible says that he went and joined himself to someone. But guess what? He joined himself to the wrong person. He decides on the only solution available to him at this time. The scripture says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You know what I thought about when I read this? It's almost like a gambling man that he loses everything that he has, and all of a sudden he's got a huge debt that he can't pay. His credit's in the tank, so he can't go to the bank and get a legitimate loan. So he goes to these seedy underworld people, these loan sharks, just to get a loan to pay off his debt. And what he doesn't even realize is that he just made a deal with the devil. He just made a deal with the devil. I guess that's all this prodigal son, the only option he thought he had. Instead of going back to his own country, he aligned himself with a foreigner, someone that he didn't know, someone that he didn't have any relationship with, just to try and get a little help. The scripture says in the King James Version that he joined himself. It literally means to cleave to or attach himself to. Matter of fact, it is the same word that is used in Matthew 19 when it talks about a husband cleaving to his wife. It's the very same word, showing utter dependence. Picture Mike Seidel from the Weather Channel, where they send that poor man out in the middle of a hurricane and he's cleaving to a telephone pole to keep from being blown away. That's the picture I want you to get. That's how tightly this prodigal son was cleaving and holding on to this person that he joined himself to. I want you to think about this. This person that he aligned himself to could not have cared any less about this man. He could not have cared any less about this man, whether he lived or whether he died. This young man was a Jew, one of God's chosen people. And now he is completely dependent on a foreigner, an alien, a Gentile, and whatever he could provide for him. And consider the job that he gave him to do. Feeding hogs. A Jewish man would not have had any hogs. They were considered unclean, and everyone around them was unclean. And by the way, as Jesus was telling this parable, can't you just almost hear the gasp when he said this Jewish man was sent out to feed hogs? this young man was called to a higher life as a young Jewish man within the chosen people of God, but he forfeited it all and all of the blessings that came along with it. Family, friends, financial stability, food, and the love and acceptance he felt at home. Now, whatever he got, no matter how meager it was, it is dependent on someone else. Someone who certainly doesn't have his best interest at heart. But what did he get from these people that he joined himself to? That is answered in the final verse we read for today. And no man gave unto him. Don't you think people saw him hurting? Don't you think people saw him hungry? People likely passed by him week after week after week. As they went by on their carriage, can't you just hear them? Martha? That boy's losing weight. That boy ain't looking good. But nobody gave him anything. Now, in all fairness, there was a famine in the land, and food was scarce, but this young man was literally dying. He was wasting away, and nobody bothered to help. I can almost see him looking at the husk and the slop that he was sent out to feed to the hogs. And the Bible says he desired to eat that over what little meager scraps he got. That's a bad place to be in. Can't you almost see him out there in the hog pen by himself, summoning up his last ounce of strength and screaming, "Will someone please help me?" Can't you hear him? But nobody did. Now, as we read through the rest of the parable, we find that all of these things, being in want, who he joined himself to, nobody caring for him or giving him anything, he finally figured out that nobody was going to help him, and he decided to go in a different direction. He decides to go back home to his father, to admit his failure and just ask to be one of his servants. He knows he can't be his son. He knows he's just messed things up way too badly for that. So he starts on the way back home, and the Bible says, while he's still a long way off, what he didn't know was Daddy was looking. Daddy was watching down that road every day. And one day he saw him. And he recognized him. And before he could get to him, his father ran and met him. His father forgave him. He puts fresh clothes on his son and celebrates his return from the dead. And most importantly, restores him as one of his children. What a beautiful story. I have a feeling there are many people like the prodigal son in this world today. They have lived a life where they used to be the life of the party. They have lived life on their terms with no regard for God. But somewhere along the way, the music has stopped. Pockets have become empty. Their life has imploded. All the friends that used to be around are now gone, and they find themselves alone. They know their situation is their own fault, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. And they also feel the shame that goes along with that realization. And then just when they think it couldn't get any worse, something else happens. Maybe this something else isn't their fault. but they're still affected by it. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's an issue with their job. Maybe it's an issue with relationships, but it's something. And whatever it is, it's just one more thing on top of everything that they're dealing with right now. And they find themselves in want. So they try to figure it out. They align themselves with someone or something, anything, anything just to dull the pain that they're feeling. They know it isn't the right thing to do. They may even know it's the wrong thing to do. But it doesn't take the pain away. It doesn't give them what they need. It doesn't make them feel any better. And this choice ends up costing them more than they're willing to pay. They're looking for help from somewhere or from something or from someone, but nobody gives them anything. I guarantee you, a lot of times people look at them sideways and they say, they made their bed, let them lie in it. It's their own fault anyway. They ain't got nobody to blame but themselves. Nobody provides any counsel. Nobody provides any direction. Maybe some people look at them and they think, I have tried to help them and help them and help them and help them, and they just hadn't listened. So I'm giving up on them. I'm done. I'm done with them. They're too far gone. They can't be helped. Nobody gives them anything. And all the while, they're thinking, I know I messed up. I'll admit it. But how do I get out of this? Who's going to help me now? Folks, that's where the children of God come in. We serve God by serving others. Whether we want to admit it, we are our brother and sister's keeper. Part of our role as Christians is to spread the good news of the gospel. And by the way, that's a job for all of us. It's not just a job of a preacher or a pastor. We have to send out a signal so that those who are blind and lost in sin can see the way that they need to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, and that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We have to be a friend to those walking blind in this world. Show that we care about their eternal soul and help to guide them to the safety of the cross. Let me show you what I mean with an illustration. I want you to picture this scene in your mind. There's a farmer that's got two horses. They're out in a pasture. He's got a barn for them. And when you look at those horses, they look like typical horses, right? But if you get close enough to them, you'll notice that one of those horses is blind. Now, the farmer loved that blind horse. And instead of putting that horse down for her disability, he came up with a way that that blind horse could have a full life. And the other horse that he had in the same pasture, the one that can see, played a huge role in this. And here's what he did. On the halter of the sighted horse, the farmer placed a little bell. That bell lets her blind friend know where she is at all times so that she can follow her. If you stand there and you watch them, you'll see how the sighted horse never gets too far away from the blind horse. She's always checking on her. And you notice how that blind horse will listen for that bell and then walk toward that sound, trusting that her friend will not lead her astray. When they start back to the barn at the end of the day, the sighted horse is always stopping, occasionally looking back, making sure that her friend isn't too far behind to hear that bell that will lead her to the comfort of that stable. They work good together. They need each other. The sighted horse finds worth and usefulness in how she is able to help her friend. And the blind horse would be almost completely lost and helpless without the other. You see, if you look back at the story of the prodigal son and you look at this story of these two horses, you find some similarities. The blind horse was in want. She was in need, and her wants were met. She wanted to live the life of a horse, but she was blind. She couldn't see where she was going. And without somebody to guide her, she would run through a fence or maybe into a tree or off of a mountain. Or she could just be so petrified that she stands in one place, afraid to move, never knowing any joy or experiencing a full life. She needs somebody to guide her and help her to feel this want that she has. And she got it. She got it. She's got a friend that has a bell that guides her where she needs to go. She follows the sound of that bell and she knows that she's heading in the right direction. That blind horse has aligned herself to the right person. The horse with the bell. Unlike the foreigner that the prodigal son joined himself to, the horse with the bell guides this blind horse safely each and every day. When the horse with the bell runs, the blind horse runs. When the horse with the bell goes to eat, the blind horse knows where she can find food. When they head to the stable at the end of the day, the blind horse knows where she can find a place of rest. Somebody had to make all of this possible for this blind horse. This blind horse may never know how grateful she should be to that farmer who, instead of giving her death and putting her down because of her imperfection and her disability, he did something else. He gave her a companion with a bell. While no one gave anything to the prodigal son, this blind horse is blessed so much more. Blindness is a terrible thing. And for this horse, it could have meant death. The church, listen to me. But the farmer did something that he did not have to do. He gave. He provided. He made a way that horse could have life and not death. So to remind you of this, we decided to give everybody a little bell. I know it's small, but I want to remind you this morning, and listen to me. there are people in this world that are in spiritual want. They're in spiritual need. They have joined themselves to the devil, and he thinks that he's got them locked down. They're searching for what they need, but they're looking in all the wrong places. They're blinded by sin, and they're stumbling around looking for a way out. They want something different. They want help, but they don't know where to go, and they don't know who to ask. And no one is giving them anything, and they're lost. They're out there all around us. Here's the question: what are we going to do about it? Folks, we all need to remember that every one of us mess up. We all mess up. We may say some mess up on a scale greater than others, and I'll buy that. But we all mess up. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us. We're all just as blind as that horse, deserving of death. But our Master, He doesn't throw us away just because of our imperfections and our challenges. God watches over us, and He brings others into our lives to help us when we're in need. Don't you understand? Sometimes we're the blind horse being guided by that little ringing bell of those that God has placed within our lives. Other times we're the guide horse ringing our bell for Jesus and helping others to see the way. So let me ask you this morning, are we ringing our bell this morning? Do we act as a guide to others that are lost and blinded in sin, that are dangerously close to hell? Because, listen to me, it is just as much a life and death situation for them today as it was for that prodigal son. Let's let our bells ring this morning for Christ. Let's make sure that those that are lost in this world know that there is someone that can lead them to someone that can eliminate their blindness of sin and offer forgiveness and eternal life. Can they hear your bell this morning? Are you letting your bell for the gospel of Christ ring each and every day in all that you do? Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're tuning in, and you're the one that needs to be guided today. You find yourself in want or in need. You've joined yourself to just about everything that there is, none of it good. And now you're alone, and you're looking for some type of guidance and direction. Maybe you've been hurt so many times that you're afraid to move. Maybe you think it would be better just to stay right where you are, as miserable as it might be, than to try to run again, only to be hurt. Can I tell you this morning that the Master of this world has made a way where you can get out of the situation that you're in? You may have deserved death. A lot of what you experienced and have been dealing with and what has caused your situation might be self-inflicted. But He has made a way so that you can live. And not just live, but thrive. Thrive, having an abundant life and an eternal life. There is a way out of what you're feeling right now. Listen to the bells of Christians around you. Jesus can be found right here this morning. And I guarantee you, if you come to Him, those scales of blindness will fall from your eyes. That pain that you feel will disappear with the love of Christ in your life. And you can have a life that is abundant and full of joy. Not without trouble, because we're all going to have trouble. But you'll have somebody, a friend, that will be right there beside of you every step of the way that will never, ever leave. Are you letting your bell ring, Christians, this morning? Can you hear this bell of Christians ringing this morning, calling you to the direction that you need to go? Follow that sound. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning and come to Christ. Would you bow with me? Fathers, we come to this time of commitment. Father, I know you had a reason for this morning. I don't fully understand it, but I believe that you did. And Father, I stand on your promise in your word where it says that it will not return void, but it's going to accomplish what you intend for it to accomplish. Father, I believe your Holy Spirit has touched hearts this morning. I believe those, Father, that find themselves away from you, Father, are hearing that bell of the Holy Spirit drawing them to you this morning. I pray you give them the courage to follow that sound. I pray you give us all, Father, a newfound determination, Lord, to let our bells ring for you day in and day out, so that a world that is lost and dying, Father, can find their way out of the situations in which they find themselves and come to the only one that can offer a remedy. Father, this time is yours. We look forward, Father, to what you're going to do right now. We ask it all in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.